Hey, this is Kyle Clark. You're listening to the podcast version of Next. Catch us live weeknights at 6 Mountain Time on 9 News and streaming live same time on 9 News Plus. Email me anytime at next@9news.com.
Protests on college campuses a few years back are being targeted by the Trump administration over allegations of anti-Semitism. Now a federal civil rights report accuses Denver's mayor and police chief of violating the Constitution during the 2024 pro-Palestinian encampment on the Auraria campus. Our Spencer Soischer explains why the report believes protesters crossed the line from free speech to anti-Semitic activity.
The pro-Palestinian encampment on the Auraria campus was up from late April to mid-May of 2024. After it came down, a federal civil rights committee launched a year-long investigation, finding, quote, some anti-Semitism and what the committee calls constitutional violations. It starts with these comments from Denver Police Chief Ron Thomas at a 2024 Citizen Oversight Board hearing.
Nothing's going to happen on that campus unless I and the mayor think that it's the right thing to do on that campus.
The report claims that despite campus rules banning tents, Thomas and Mayor Mike Johnston refused to help Auraria clean the camp after an initial sweep that included more than 40 arrests on April 26th. The Civil Rights Committee's report says Thomas's decision and Mayor Johnston's violated the 14th Amendment's guarantee of equal protection under the law, giving these protesters a pass that no other group in Auraria's history has ever received.
We absolutely aren't going to just, you know, go in and sweep out this peaceful protest just because they're occupying a space on your campus.
According to the report, Auraria's top administrator questioned the decision, asking, quote, what other groups were allowed to erect tents and sleep on campus? The report also alleged some protesters called for the extermination of the State of Israel and for terrorist attacks on Jews globally. The committee said it believes Denver leadership refused to help because some members of the city council and their family members were participating, that some council members told Auraria leadership ending the camp was not in line with city policy. The report claims that this past March, Denver City Attorney Miko Brown sent the committee a cease and desist, demanding the civil rights violations portion not be published. The committee published it anyway. The mayor's office says this report is more about responding to pressure from the Trump administration and less about facts, and that Denver police should be commended for protecting the rights of peaceful protesters and de-escalating a volatile situation.
The committee itself was divided. One member resigned, saying he was uncomfortable with how far the committee was going in its conclusions here in Denver. Even with those conclusions, the committee has no power to fine, penalize, or compel any action. Its findings do go to the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights, which can refer them to federal authorities. But acting on them, Marshall, is up to the Department of Justice.
Who runs the Department of Justice?
That would be
the Trump administration. He's not very happy with Denver, so I can imagine how this could go up to the Department of Justice and say, hey, go after Denver now.
Yeah, Denver certainly got a target on its back in recent months, now recent years. This is certainly another piece of that.
All right, we'll keep an eye on it, Spencer. Thanks. Another overnight breach at DIA, but this one never made it close to any runway. Early this morning, Denver police arrested a man accused of driving through a loading dock gate near the airport office building. It's called the AOB, and it's an office building on the bridge from the main terminal to Concourse A. The person DPD arrested is suspected of DUI, resisting arrest, and apparently damaging the most expensive gate ever. One of the other potential charges is criminal mischief, which means damaging property of more than $1 million. The next boss of the Colorado National Guard will be picked by voters this year. That's the governor. The primary election is a little more than a month away, and the money is racking up for many of the candidates and the groups that support them. Democratic Attorney General Phil Weiser has raised $6 million since announcing his candidacy at the start of 2025. Democratic Senator Michael Bennett has raised $4.5 million in a little more than a year. Supporting each candidate is a political action committee. Those are groups that can accept more money than the candidates themselves, and they tend to produce those negative ads you see. The committee supporting Bennett's campaign has raised $7 million, with a third of that from former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg. The committee supporting Weiser's campaign has raised $1.7 million. For the Republicans, ministry leader Victor Marx has raised nearly $2.5 million. That's quite a haul for a political unknown. He also has a political action committee that has raised $68,000. State Senator Barb Kirkmeyer, she's raised a little more than $500,000. And State Representative Scott Bottoms has brought in $191,000. and campaign finance reports shows he spent most of that money with a month to go. Neither of those candidates, Kirkmeyer or Bottoms, appear to have political action committees. And next week, we're hosting these candidates in our gubernatorial primary debates on 9 News. We have the only scheduled debate with all three Republican candidates, Kirkmeyer, Bottoms, and Marks, debate live on 9 News at 6 p.m. 1 week from tomorrow, Tuesday, June 2nd. Then it will be Bennett and Weiser for another commercial-free hour-long debate with the Democratic primary candidates. That one is Thursday, June 4th, also at 6 p.m. Ballots hit the mail for early June sometime there for the June 30th primary. It will soon be the country's 250th anniversary and Colorado's 150th, or as my 3-year-old likes to say, the sesquicentennial. Leading up to that, the U.S. will pay tribute to more than 1 million Americans who gave their lives in service to our country. That includes more than 6,000 Coloradans killed or missing in action. There is a ceremony and a flyover by the Air National Guard today at Fort Logan, where service members, veterans, and their loved ones are buried. Volunteers place flags on more than 100,000 graves at that site each year. And students from Commerce City and Adams 14 School District, they marched in the National Memorial Day Parade in Washington, D.C. The students carried a banner with the names of Coloradans killed or missing in action in partnership with the Colorado Freedom Memorial.
They wanted to take all of them to D.C. with them and march them down Constitution Avenue in the National Memorial Day Parade. And I thought it was, I was like, serious?
I've never been around a more energetic, interested group of young people than these kids from the Adams 14 Marching Band, who I've been thinking about all day today.
Among the service members being recognized for the first time this year, Staff Sergeant Benjamin Pennington, a Fort Carson soldier and one of the 13 Americans killed in connection with the war in Iran. Pennington was honored this year alongside 407 other fallen soldiers from Fort Carson. We want to say a quick thank you for all you've done this week to help kids with health challenges, a worry-free week at summer camp like any other kid. Here's Kyle with an update on this week's Word of Thanks microgiving campaign.
Thanks for being with Next while I'm away, and thank you for what you did last week through your Word of Thanks microgiving to help Roundup River Ranch. They are a camp in Gypsum that welcomes campers from all across Colorado for a free week of classic summer camp. All of these kids have life-altering diagnoses, so it's an opportunity for kids to meet others with similar health challenges and to just have a week of being a kid. And you raised almost $60,000 to help more kids go to camp. We'll be back on Wednesday with the next idea of how a weekly microgiving project can change our state for the better. If you have a suggestion, a nomination, or you just want to see all the good that you've done around the state, go to wordofthanks.org. There's an interactive map showing you your giving in every corner of this state, and it's also where you can make a nomination for another nonprofit that is deserving of our support. I'll see you tomorrow.
Xcel gets the go-ahead again to run power lines through a rural community that doesn't get any of the power.
It's 105 years of lived experience. That's something that, when lost, you can't recover that.
A teenager from Denver is on a mission to preserve the stories of hundreds of military veterans. That's next. Those 140-foot-tall Xcel power lines will be able to go through another Colorado county, even though that county doesn't want them. El Paso County had denied Xcel permits to build its power pathway, and Xcel appealed to state regulators and won. The power pathway goes through a dozen counties to get electricity from new substations through new large transmission lines. Both El Paso and Elbert County denied the permit request by Xcel, which then appealed to the PUC, and Xcel won both appeals. In winning its appeal over El Paso County, Xcel will be required to determine if more fire monitoring cameras will be needed to keep an eye on the power lines. And Xcel needs to offer to meet with each fire district in El Paso County. That county has until next week to appeal the decision. Along with us now is Chris Bianchi. And Chris, I had to look back at Boulder photos from last year ahead of running today, and I realized the weather was quite different last year. Do you remember that?
I actually don't. What was it last year?
45 and rainy.
Oh.
I didn't remember that. That's my kind of memorial. I know it doesn't help with barbecues and getting out to the pool, but
But that is chef's kiss running weather, isn't it?
Absolutely. And given what we've experienced for the last few months, I'd take that in a heartbeat right now.
Wasn't it like, it was 65 and sunny this morning, right?
It felt that way, sure. You tell me, you're the expert.
I want to say it was 65 and sunny this morning in Boulder. It was toasty, Marshall. It was toasty. That's what we can certainly say about what the weather was this morning. It was honestly not PR weather for those of you Boulder runners. Usually you like that kind of cloud cover, that cool weather. Marshall, by the way, what was it, 40 minutes and 11 seconds you did it in?
Yeah.
Nice job, Marshall. Showers and storms. I was on the couch this morning. Showers and storms, eastern plains. Most coverage here in the southeastern part of the state. Some slow movers, so Lamar on north through Eads, Kit Carson on south through Springfield and Campo, seeing some of those showers and storms right now. In Denver, we had some gusty storms around 3 o'clock. Those are long over and done with. Southern Colorado, though, San Juan's on east through the Raton Mesa. We'll hold on to some storms tonight. In Denver, we stay dry. The mountains, though, we'll keep some of those showers and storms around again. Southern Colorado, the highest coverage overnight tonight. Closer look in here at the metro area again. Can't rule out a gusty storm in the next few minutes, but otherwise it'll be pretty quiet. But then tomorrow we will see some gusty storms move back into the mountains and maybe one or two back in the picture for us in Denver as well. All this moisture, we kind of increase those storm chances this week because this low pressure center gets closer and closer to us from the west. So what that means for you is those storm odds will gradually go up as this week wears on. So by tomorrow, we'll see a few more gusty showers and storms, a touch cooler. High of 80 tomorrow because of a bit more cloud cover tomorrow. And then for the middle to end part of the week, it turns pretty stormy with widespread showers and storms on Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. Those are the 3 days in particular I'm watching for. And there's I was just telling our producer Mallory, there's about a gazillion outdoor concerts on Friday night here in Denver. So I'm keeping a particularly close eye on that. Unfortunately, could be dealing with some storms.
A gazillion, that is a technical weather term. A teenager is chronicling American military history one interview at a time. And he's sneaking those interviews in a way that would get other kids in trouble. And a reminder, you can also catch Next streaming each night at 6 p.m. on 9 News Plus. And Next is now a podcast. Each weeknight, find us wherever you get your podcasts. Picture skipping class in high school. What would be on your list of things to do? I doubt many would say, go interview war veterans, like a Denver teen who's documenting stories from the past.
What you're seeing here is my collection of historical items. So you can see this is all World War II era. I've got a large section of World War I items here. I've been collecting since I was 7 years old. I'm now 18 and just kept on expanding. My name is Luis Rodriguez. This is one of my favorite letters I received. It was sent to me by 105-year-old friend of mine. He was just an incredible veteran in person. I spent the past 3 years of my life really dedicated to interviewing veterans. Pretty much here I have my sheet where I keep track of some of the veterans I've interviewed, all of them. At school, I'll go to school early in the mornings. I'll skip a class every so often to do an interview. I'd almost like to hear that. I can go to my YouTube channel and I can pull up some of the interviews I've published.
Extremely brave guys and very capable.
I always ask the same question at the end of every interview. What advice would you give to my generation and future generations?
Eat a lot of beans.
I think we should all maybe take his advice then.
I have to think a lot about that question.
These veterans are passing away at 130 per day. It's a very high rate, and there's very few of them left around the world. It's important to be able to preserve that side of the human story. And that side is fading very fast. And so to be able to understand that history isn't just a accumulation of generals and statistics, but accumulation of lived experiences.
And I really want to thank you, sir, for your service.
Thank you very much, young man. It's an honor for me to meet you that's interested in history. Thank you again very much.
Makes me very proud to know that he appreciates what I'm doing, especially. Because to me, that's the most important part, really, to have the veterans understand that I'm there to help them tell their story.
With people like you, who are concerned about America, concerned about truth, and concerned about providing the best for all of its citizens,
we will then have an America that we really were proud of. And I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
That's great. Luis says his current goal is to preserve the stories of 250 veterans to coincide with America's 250th birthday, which is semi-quincentennial, not to be confused with Colorado's 150, America's 250, sesquicentennial. Veterans in Denver are getting help navigating an often confusing system of federal benefits. And there's a perk. The help comes with coffee and donuts. Once a month, Denver Veteran Services hosts a Coffee with a Vet, where caseworkers connect veterans and their loved ones to benefits and other support services. One of those important benefits, which families might not know about, is Dependency and Indemnity Compensation, DIC. That supports families of service members who died in the line of duty or from service-related conditions. Last year, Denver area families received more than $9 million in DIC payouts.
Because of my VA disability and the percentage that I'm at, my spouse would be able to apply for DIC and depending on what she may or may not need, would be able to receive financial compensation or even health care for the rest of her life after I pass.
The program meets in the morning on the second Tuesday of every month at the Bill Daniels Veterans Services Center on Santa Fe Drive. He's got a voice we need to hear more than once. Earlier, you heard from Rick Crandall, founder of the Colorado Freedom Memorial in Aurora. Here he is again from a story a few years ago, but it's a timeless reminder of the many ways to reflect and honor the fallen today.
6,218 Coloradans left home to go serve their country, answer their country's call, to go defend freedom. Oftentimes in places they'd never been, were never ever gonna go to. Couldn't spell the name of the towns they were in and possibly had never heard of the country, but left because they were called to do it. And they gave their lives for that very freedom they swore to defend. On Memorial Day weekend, on this weekend, go have your barbecues, go camping, go golfing, go work in your yard, go do what you were gonna do because they gave their lives protecting your ability to do that. So eat that hamburger, heck, have two of them. But sometime this weekend, just sometime this weekend, give a little bit of time to reflect and be grateful that heroes like these lived.
Thanks for having me on at your barbecue. DJ in Frederick says, it's always enjoyable to have me deliver the news. I'm relaxed, poised, and reassuring. Thank you for all the compliments and ignoring the frog in my throat at the beginning of the show. John has a different take. That tie clip Marshall wears makes him look not serious and tell him the news. It's a distraction to take me seriously. In the history of my tie clip, John, I've never heard anything negative, and you're going to be disappointed to learn I sometimes wear it without the tie or a dress shirt. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to the podcast version of Next. Catch us live weeknights at 6 Mountain Time on 9 News, streaming live, same time, on 9 News Plus. Email me anytime at next@9news.com. Next producer is Mallory Harris. Our digital producer is Marilyn Moore. Our visual editor is Jeff Sartell. Our reporters include Marshall Zellinger, Mark Salinger, Angeline McCall, and Evan Kruel. Misty Montano is 9 News' digital director. I'm Kyle Clark. I'll see you next time.